Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I wish everyone, especially all Chinese, a blessed Lunar New Year. Are you a Christian? You will know if you are a Christian, and of course, God would know. It is very hard for others to know whether you are a Christian. And I'm sure you know that you are not a Christian because you say you are one for the adoption into God's family. That privilege belongs only to the Heavenly Father. You and I can't adopt ourselves into the family of God. It is God's privilege, God's domain. And if you are a child of God, please understand that what happens is this. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, truly from the heart, without any condition, that you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and He rose again from the dead on the third day for your justification. And you have truly accepted Him as your Lord and as your Savior. What immediately has taken place is that Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will indwell you immediately, the moment you are truly born again. And this seal of the Holy Spirit is forever. And this seal of the Holy Spirit is not only to make sure of your salvation, but He will also enable you to live a holy life. And the Bible describes it as sanctification, to make us more and more holy with every passing week as we sojourn on this earth. Please do not be contented when someone tells you after you utter the prayer of salvation that now you have a place in heaven. That's all you need. Your place is secured in heaven, that when you die, you will go to heaven. Please do not take this person's word as bond. He is not God. There will be many, many precious evidences that God has given to us in Holy Scriptures that can help us examine our own hearts and our own souls to make sure that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot take for granted because someone tells me that I'm a Christian, therefore I am one. You can't even take that for granted even if your pastor tells you, because he is also not God. Only God knows, and God has given to us enough evidence in the Bible to help each and every one of us to know it within our own hearts that as you serve the Lord, as you worship the Lord, you will not find at the end of your life a castaway. A castaway is someone who is an apostate. Someone who has never been a believer in the first place. And thank God for verses that we have been studying in 1 Thessalonians. This wonderful book that will remind us of what it means to be a Christian. There are certain clear evidence that must be found in your life and in my life. And one of them is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. How do I know that I have the Holy Spirit inside me? Firstly, the Bible says so. That's by faith. Secondly, by your communion with God through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who indwells us will aid us in our prayer, will aid us in our walk with the Lord, in our communion with the Lord, non-stop. That is why God wants every believer to experience these three unceasing, day by day, life by life. Every moment of your living day, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And when you do these two, inevitably, the outcome is, in everything, give thanks. That's a natural order. When you rejoice evermore, not based upon material things, but based upon who you are in Christ Jesus, you thank God that you have been saved from sin, the penalty of sin and death. And sin is no longer your master. Now you have this freedom, this liberty within your soul to do that which is right. These hands that once upon used to serve sin now can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all these should give us the joy in our hearts that the world does not know. And then you will pray without ceasing because you know that you cannot do it without God's help. Because you know that you are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against Satan and principalities in high places. And so you will pray without ceasing, leaning on God every day, non-stop, to go through your life. And God will give you the victory. He will help you make the right decision. And then, result in everything, give thanks. In everything we can thank God truly from our hearts, because thanksgiving is not something that is natural. We like to thank only when things go our way. Isn't it true? But the Bible says for the Christian, in everything you must give thanks. In other words, if the doctor tells you you have cancer, you're about to die, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Because for the Christian, the Bible says, I am a child of God. I never die. That's what Jesus promised us. That's what Jesus preached at the funeral of Lazarus. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never die. That's exactly what it means. What it means when you stop breathing is the termination of your service on earth. Immediately you are saved in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no break, there is no soul sleep, there is no break in your consciousness. The only difference is one moment I live for Christ on earth, next moment I now stand before Christ and He receives me into glory. There is no break in your consciousness. That's why Jesus says we will never die. That's why in everything give thanks. Whatever the news that may come into your life and my life, even though it may be painful and hurtful, even though it may be called adversities and calamities, even persecution, burn at the stake. In everything give thanks. You know why? Because the Bible says when you rejoice evermore, you pray without ceasing, you know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. It is God's will for me to have cancer, praise the Lord. If it is God's will for me to lose my son, my only son, my only daughter, praise the Lord. Understand? Because it is God's will. That's what the Bible says, because my God is all powerful. He makes no mistakes in my life. And if I've been praying with Him all my days, I know that there are no mistakes in my life too, unless I'm disobedient. Now if I'm disobedient, He chastises me, He canes me to stop me from sinning and to come back to the Lord, that's also a good thing. But if you rejoice evermore and you pray without ceasing and you know that you are doing God's will and you're walking what God wants you to do, there is nothing on this earth that can stop us from giving thanks to God. It may not be what you want, but because I know that this is God's will for my life and I thank God for it. That's what it means. God makes no mistakes. And you can't experience this will of God in your life if you don't learn to rejoice evermore based upon godly, biblical, spiritual basis. If you rejoice evermore because of carnal, material things, you are in trouble. You are no different from an unbeliever, because that's exactly how unbelievers rejoice. When they strike the lottery, when they get promoted in the things of the world, when they can get into this university, when they can get material things, that's how the world rejoices, but not believers. And people who do not lean on God, they lean on self and man and their own abilities, they will not pray. And then when things happen to them, they panic, they cry, they weep, they indulge in self-pity. Some of them even blame God. But when you are close to God, you can truly, truly, from the depths of your heart, I know this is God's will for my life. God knows what is best. If God wants me to have this child until the child grows up to 70 and I grow up to 70 to see him grow up, that's God's will. If it is not God's will and God will take my child home after He has blessed me with 6 years of His life, 7 years of His life, 10 years, whatever it is, I thank God for those 6 years. I thank God for those 10 years. This is God's will. God has taken my son home to be with Him, and one day I will meet my son again in the presence of God Almighty. This is what God wants for every child of God. Do not allow the circumstances of life to dictate our joy, our relationship with Christ, with God. Let God, through God's word, through the indwelling of the Spirit of God, dictate and control our Christian life. For that is the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised every child of God. When you come and believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have an abundant life. It is a life of great joy. It is a life of great dependence upon God. It is a life that enables us to give thanks always. And this is what the Holy Spirit who indwells us wants every truly born again believer to experience. But if you don't want this, then you are quenching the Spirit of God. The word quench there means to extinguish. Put out the fire. That's what it means. The reason why we know that this is only for believer, because if you're not a believer, you can't quench anything. You don't have the spirit to quench. We know that this is for the believer simply because of two things. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. That's why it's called quenching the Spirit. The Spirit of God will want us to obey God's word. The Spirit of God will aid us and help us to experience all that God has declared for us in the Scriptures. And you know that sometimes you know what is right, but you just do not want to do what is right. And that's what it means by extinguishing, quenching. Do not want to obey. The Spirit of God will not force us. It is always willing. Like giving of your tithe and offering, it is willing. It is not going to be by compulsion. It is not going to be forced. It is not going to be by coercion. Because you want to. It's from the heart. Obedience to God's word is always from the heart, willing. And if you do not want to, even when the Spirit of God wants you to, then you are quenching, extinguishing what the graces and the mercies of God wants you to do in your life, that your life may be what God wants it to be. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for you know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. This is what God wants for every believer, no exception. Not only for the elders and deacons and the leaders, it's for every born-again, truly born-again believer. Don't quench the Spirit of God that is in your life. Stop quenching it. That's what Paul wants us. Stop it. That means some believers in the church in Thessalonica were quenching the Holy Spirit. And he says, stop it. That means they were not living a holy life. In other words, for example, in this context, don't weep for your loved ones as if not going to see him again, especially if he is in Christ Jesus. Don't think that this world is your home, because then you will be sleeping. You are not watchful. You are not sober. You allow the things of the world to crowd your heart. And you're drunken by the luxury and the attractions of the world. Don't let that happen. More and more of our young people are going overseas. More and more of our young people are exposed to the beauty and the luxury, as well as the evil and the wickedness and the immorality that is in the world. You have been very sheltered in your life, in your church, in your home in Singapore. And when you go out there, and then you look at your friends, you go to university all by yourself, mom and dad not with me. The temptations to become like my classmates, so real. So very real. You know of a parent who sent their child overseas. The child was 16 years old. Sent them overseas and let the child study in a boarding school, thinking that all girls' boarding school would be safe for their daughter. Lo and behold, they are lesbians there now. And then as she ward off all these immoral and terrible influence, when she was about to finish her school before she goes into the university, she and a few of these girls were supposed to decorate some hall for their end of term or semester gathering. And so she was busy doing what she was supposed to do, and her friends were supposed to do what they were supposed to do. But lo and behold, when she found out on the eve of what the gathering was about to begin, the friends did not do what they were supposed to do. You know what happened? They were drunk. 17, 18-year-old girls, drunk, lying all over the stage, vomit everywhere. Drunk. This is the world that we are living in, exposing our young children. And if you do not ground them well, you are pushing them into the fiery furnace toward Baal and Ashtaroth, the gods of this world. And young people, when you start work, you go out into the world and you think that now the world is my oyster. I get what I want. I want to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder. And I want to be promoted and make more and more money. You sure you're a Christian with this kind of motivation? Did Jesus not remind you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Have you so soon forgotten? The Spirit of God will call you and chastise you and speak to you. But you keep on pushing it away. And you keep on removing that from your conscience, and you keep on going more and more and deeper into the world. You think the Lord does not know? That is called quenching the Spirit of God. You know that is wrong. Sure, you're alone. The world is there. My friends are doing it. But they are your friends, not God's friend. And you follow in the footstep rather than the footstep that God has set up for us, called the straight and narrow path. The Spirit of God now speaks to your heart, tells you, stop it, stop what you are doing and come back to the Lord. Would you? Would you say, enough is enough? There is no church, my spiritual life is now in jeopardy, no more working in this city overseas, enough. I don't need the money, I don't want this kind of money where I have to sell my spiritual life in order to get that extra dollar. I don't need that kind of money. Would you make a stop? Would you listen to the Spirit of God to tell you to stop it? Or would you keep on going, keep on going? If I don't do it, I'm going to lose out to my peers. Lose out in what? Pray tell. Lose out in what? In the prestige and the accolades of the world. You want these things, the praises of men, rather than the praise of your Heavenly Father? You sure you want to do that? And if you are truly born again, the Spirit of God will be in you to tell you, you cannot do that. You have to stop it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate that you go in, it leads to destruction. That's it. Straight and narrow path. You want to follow your peers? You are on the wrong path. That is the broad way. You are on the narrow way that leads to the narrow gate that opens the door at the end of your life is into life. You cannot get to the narrow gate by walking on the broad way. The life of your peers, the life of the world, the way of the world is the broad way. Don't go there, please. If you are truly born again, then the Spirit of God will speak to you. If you don't hear anything, you are numb. Understandable. You are just a professing Christian, not a true Christian. Because Jesus promises, my sheep hears my voice. Now Jesus never lies. And these are verses that comfort us. My sheep hears my voice. Now where is the voice of God? The scriptures. The Bible. That's the voice of God. And therefore, if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit is inside you. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. And the voice of God says, Jesus will return soon for the church. And then after 7 years, he will come down with the church. And when I come and take you up to be with me, please be ever ready. Don't be caught unprepared. How to be ready? Be watchful and be sober. Don't allow your mind to be dull. Chinese New Year season, no drinking, please. Christian, don't you dare use the Bible to support your drinking. If you want to drink, don't call yourself a Christian, please. You bring shame to the name of Christ. You dull your mind and you have compromised. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Drinking is definitely not only appearance of evil, it is evil itself. Evil itself. Don't use Chinese New Year season as an excuse, and don't you dare use the Bible. Jesus turned the water into wine. The wine there is 100% grape juice. 100%. Why would Jesus Christ use his power to turn a water into wine? You know, wine, grape juice turned to wine because there is bacteria, and bacteria is the enemy. It's not something that is pure. It destroys. Jesus turned water into pure grape juice. That's why the people were stunned and shocked. Because it was not a grape juice harvesting of grape juice season. They have no refrigerator. Where did you get such pure, unadulterated, pure grape juice? Because everyone has grape juice that have fermented. Yours is pure. Where do you get it from? Of course, for us today, you just go to any shopping center you can buy because it is vacuum packed. The moment you open it, they say put it in the fridge or else it will begin to ferment. Don't use the Bible. The Bible warns us against drinking all the time. Priests, no drinking. Kings, no drinking. And you and I are priests and kings, royal priesthood. Don't dull your mind. Your world made up of unbelievers, they depend upon you as the priest to pray for them. When your mind is dull, you can't pray for them. What good are you to them if you are not good for them in the spiritual realm? That's how important it is. How to be ready, be sober, be watchful. How to be watchful and sober. Remember those who are serving in love. Encourage them. Remember them before God's throne of grace. Exhort your brothers. Warn them who are unruly. Help those who are feeble-minded. Those who are weak physically. Support them and do it with all patience. So much to do as God's children. This is how we ought to occupy our time. And you know this is correct. You know this is the right thing to do. And when your mind is dull, when you live an unholy life, how to at the same time approach God with clean hands and pure hearts? You dare to say that? Lord, I come before you with clean hands and pure heart. Lord, you sure? The Spirit of God will rebuke you. Don't quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants the best for you. So that your life will be one of joy, one of great victory over the temptations and the sins that so easily beset us. We live in a world where there are all brands of Christianity. We live in a world where Christianity has really lost its real proper meaning. When the word Christian was first used in the book of Acts, there was no denomination, there was no charismatic, there was no Roman Catholics, there was no Presbyterian. They were just simply called Christians because they follow Christ. That's all. And how do they follow Christ? They follow Christ all the way, even unto death. All the way. You want to stone me to death because I believe in Christ? Start stoning. You want to put me into prison and scourge me and beat me up because I believe in Christ and I continue to preach Christ and teach Christ? Then start putting me into prison. Do it. They will not budge. They will not lower the standard of what it means to be a follower of Christ. They really carry the cross made of wood that Christ has given to each and every one of them. Today's Christianity, our crosses are made of platinum, made of gold, made of jewels and diamonds and precious stones. Christianity has taken on such a completely different facade and face. It has a face of respectability. Jesus says, Christ was despised. How can the world love us? The world should despise us, not love us. The only way that the world will ever love a Christian is a Christian who lives like the world, isn't it? Because the world is in darkness. Has the world changed? No. The world is still in darkness, full of sin. And the sin is going to get worse because Jesus already told us that before his return to take us home, the world will be like Sodom. Sodom is characterized by two sins, fornication and homosexuality. Fornication had already taken a very deep and strong hold in our society from one corner to the other corner of the four corners of the world. It used to be so shameful a stigma for two persons to live together without getting married. Now, two persons live together, have children, and the government support them and give them money to bring their children up. What upside down morality are we living in? But that is what God warns us as Christians will happen. And this is our world. Homosexuality is now going to gain momentum. And it is going to spread far and wide, and it will become a life fornication where people will look at fornicators without blinking an eyelid the same way that they're going to look at homosexuals. This is our world. And you think that your children with their education will be safe against a world that is so evil and immoral and wicked? You think that will protect them? Only the Word of God can protect them. Only the Spirit of God in their hearts can protect them. And if parents do not begin to live a holy life, and when parents begin to quench the Spirit of God, and then you want to tell about Christ to your own children, they will look at you and say, Mom, Dad, Christ is like that. Christians are like that. I don't want to be a Christian. Because it is inconsistent. You behave one way on church on Sunday, but you behave so differently on the Lord's Day. When I see you go to work, all you care about is more material things. You don't talk to me about spiritual things. You don't share with me about Christ. You don't pray with me. You don't care what I do with my spiritual life. Don't quench the Spirit of God. The consequences are far, far reaching. Not will you, only will you destroy your own testimony, but your destruction of your own testimony, self-destruct button, will destroy the faith of others. And if you are a leader in the church, you have many young people looking up to you. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you have the young children looking up to you. My teacher says this, my teacher says that. And then later on they find that the teacher stumbled and fall. And then these young children, my teacher did all this. My teacher stumbled and fell so greatly into sin. My teacher. Please understand that there is no one, no place so holy that Satan will dare not invade. No mind so holy that Satan will leave alone. You do not keep close to the Lord and follow God's word. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and learn to give thanks in all things, literally in all things, because you know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Really, the will of God, the key is the will of God. Acknowledge the will of God. And once you acknowledge that, you can really, sincerely, truly give thanks. If you don't, and the Spirit of God continue to speak to you, come back, and you don't want to listen, and you go further and further away, loving the world, do not want to pray, do not want to forgive, do not want to be like a godly Christian, you are quenching the Spirit of God. It is not a question of, are you quenching the Holy Spirit? We all will say no. Surely, we all will say no. But it is not the words that matters, it is the life. It is the life. When you wake up in the morning, what occupies your mind? What fills your mind for the rest of the day and the rest of the week? Concerning yourself, concerning your spouse, concerning your children, concerning the ministry. What occupies your mind? Well, these things don't occupy your mind, and what occupies your mind are only material things. How am I going to get my next promotion? How am I going to get my extra dollar? How am I going to ensure and secure my future in this world? You have no future in this world. You know that. The Lord says, I am coming soon again to take you home. What future do you have on this earth? You have none. Don't think that way. Please. You do your best in your studies by all means. So please don't swing to the extreme. This world has no future. I don't study hard. You study hard, but your motivation is not to plan your future. Your motivation is to glorify Christ. Be a godly witness and testimony. And that motivation will outstrip any motivation that the world can ever give you. Whatever motivation the world gives you will betray you one day. You're not going to get it. But when you're motivated because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you be the best student, you be the best employee and employer that the world has ever seen. I'm constrained by the love of Christ, not your money. I'm here. I'm constrained by the love of Christ. I study very hard. I will not cheat. I will not do anything that is wrong. I will do my best. And even if I have failed, I know it is God's will. I try my best, Lord. And I know that I can learn from this failure, because more often than not, we learn more from our failures in exam, in life, than our successes. Is that not true? God wants the best for us, and the best for us is given to us here. These three unending, unceasing experiences for every believer. And the Spirit of God will aid us, will help us accomplish this. Don't you want this? Don't you want this for yourself, to be able to have joy in our hearts everywhere we go, whatever the circumstances of life may be, and to be able to give thanks to God all the time, whatever happens in your life, the life of your family, and don't be so bogged down by material, carnal things. Get out of it. Draw yourself out of it. Don't let your home address, what car you drive, all these matters, these things do not matter, not even one bit, to the Christian. Some of us, so sad, take pride in the fact that I live in this estate, I live in that estate. My house is a mansion and this and all these things. And you want to keep up with the Joneses, some kind of image that you have to keep up. For what? For whose sake? Definitely not for Christ. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. Do you know what that means? A child of God Almighty. A child of God. Bound for heaven. Heaven is going to be your eternal home. Where there is no more sin, no more death. Not this earth. This earth will be destroyed by Christ. And He will give us a new heaven and a new earth. So whatever you put on this earth will be destroyed by Christ. Please understand this. Whatever that you do for Christ will go with you to heaven, not what you gain on this earth. Please understand this. Don't quench the Spirit of God. The Lord wants the best for you as His children. Why is it so hard to live a life of a Christian obediently? Where you love to pray, where you learn to forgive, where whatever comes your way, you know that God is in control of my life. You know how happy and how wonderful a life that is? To know that in Jesus Christ I have everything. You can take away everything else on this earth and I will have lost nothing because I have Christ. You can take away my home. You can take away the car. You can take away my health. You can take away my family. You can take away my freedom. You can even take away my life. And I would have lost nothing. Because what you can never take away from me is the relationship that God has given to me in Christ Jesus. Not even Satan. Not even death. Nothing. That alone must be the basis for our living, for our purpose, for our existence as Christians. Nothing else. And whatever you lay your hands to do, you do your best. Why? Because I am serving my Heavenly Father. And I cannot do anything that is not my best, because then I would fail my Heavenly Father. So if I have to go through national service, I do my best as a godly Christian national serviceman. If I have to go out to work, if my company sends me overseas, I ask whether it is God's will. If it is God's will, I do my best. I make sure that my spiritual life, my walk with the Lord is not jeopardized. That's how you must always pray for yourself and for your children who are overseas, for your loved ones who are overseas. Don't you realize that this world must always be alien to us? Why do you think God calls us strangers and sojourners? Again and again, strangers and sojourners, strangers and sojourners. We are passing through. We are strangers. We are not people who must make a home here. This world must never become so comfortable that we forget that our home is in heaven. Don't go after riches. It will kill you. It will destroy you. Why do you think Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Do you know why it is really impossible? Because he has everything this world has to offer. He is numbed to the fact that he needs Christ, that he has sin in his life. Everything that he wants to enjoy, money can buy, he buys. Nothing stops him. He wants to eat the best food, he buys. If you want to fly from one part of the world to another part and eat that special plate of chicken rice and he has to pay $30,000, air flown, made by a special chef, he pays. Whatever he wants, he gets. And so how is he going to believe in Christ? Because to believe in Christ begins with bankruptcy of spirit. So how will a rich man, full of health, full of wealth, experience bankruptcy of spirit? He can't. That's why it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If God is merciful to him, unlike the rich man and Lazarus, where he drops dead, that's it. While he was in full wealth and health, suddenly he just dropped dead and died. If God is merciful, God will send someone to give you a wonderful news that you are now dying of cancer, rich man. That is the best news that you could ever have. You could have easily dropped dead. But now that God has sent someone to tell you, you are dying of cancer. How long more? 3 months? 6 months? Well, you have 3 months and 6 months to find a solution and answer to your sin. Praying that God will send someone who is a believer who will share with you the gospel. And then you realize that your money is no use. Your money can't even buy you one extra second. All your luxury, you're not going to think about your beautiful, fanciful, expensive Rolls Royces and all those sports cars while you know that you have 6 more months to live. You're going to die. You're going to what, die in a beautiful car buried with your Rolls Royce? You won't be thinking of all these things you used to. They meant everything to you once upon a time until you got the wonderful news that you're going to die soon. And now find a solution. Bankruptcy of soul in your heart. Come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And once you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you now truly are living. That's when life truly begins. Free from all these material things. And that's what God wants for every believer. And that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, not only as a seal, as a guarantor that we are children of God, but as a seal and to aid us and to help us go through this life shining for Christ, truly shining for Christ. That when people look at your life and look at mine, it's not perfect, but it's supposed to be holy, not perfect. A holy life is a life that is free from sin. A holy life is a life whereby a person, the moment he knows he has sinned, he will truly, truly repent of it. And then he will walk right with God. So that his loved ones, his family members, when they look at their life, they will be pleased to see this life. Because this is a life of Christ. A life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And God says, I want all of my children to have this. God says, I want all of my children. You see any verse that says only for pastors, for elders, for deacons, for those who are serving? No. This is for every child of God, because the rapture impacts every child of God, right? All of us will be caught up, not just session members. Everyone without exception. Your life has been redeemed by Christ's precious blood. Please sit back and ponder over this wonderful, wonderful truth. Redeemed by Christ's precious blood. Jesus Christ came down onto this earth. He died on the cross, a most painful, humiliating death. It was your sins and my sins that put him on the cross. Yes, that was that generation that did the whipping, that generation that mocked him by put on a royal purple robe on him, that generation punched him, that generation wove the crown of thorns and forced it down his head, but they were our hands and feet. Our hands and feet did that to Jesus Christ. Your sins and my sins, you and me did that to Christ, the Son of God. And then after we did all these things to him, and then he died. And then when God raised him from the dead, after we did all these things to him, God says, you go to this same person that you have mocked and humiliated and crucified, you go to him and you ask him to save you. Do you know that's what it means? Ask him to save you from your sin, from hell, from lake of fire. Ask him to save you. And that's why John 6, the Bible tells us, Jesus told the disciples, please come and ask me. I'm not going to turn you, I'm not going to cast you out. Why? Because whomsoever the Father gives me, I will receive. Whomever the Father gives to me, I will never cast away. Because I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do my Father's will. And if my Father's will is to save you, sinner, who did this to me, I will still save you. Now, after you have experienced this kind of salvation, how dare we go back into the world? How can we want to quench the Spirit of God that tells us this is the way to live? This is the only way to live. And we don't do it. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Learn forgiveness. If anyone has hurt you or harmed you, please forgive. If you are not living a holy life, you love the world, please stop. Please stop loving the world and come back to the Lord. Whatever years that have been lost, it will not come back. But whatever days, perhaps weeks, and perhaps even God's mercy is upon you, you still have some more years left. Whatever that remains, walk right again. Whatever years that have been lost, let it go. Don't weep over spilled milk. It's gone. You don't have those years. It may be the strength of your youth. What can you do? It's lost. You have allowed the world to won over your heart, to deceive you. You have allowed the world to rob you of your godly witness and testimony and the abundant life that Christ has given to you. Repent of it. Come back to the Lord. And whatever days that you have left, live for Him. Prepare yourself to meet the Lord. Be watchful. Be sober. Do what God wants us to do. Start to study God's word. Start reading God's word. Start living a holy life. And start being motivated, constrained by the love of Christ, no more by the love of the world. No more. And why are you studying hard as a student overseas? Because I am a Christian. And I want to bear a godly witness for Christ. And pray for the fear of God in your heart that you will not succumb to the wiles of the devil that are out there. And if you are working and you have a young family and you're beginning in life, learn from the mistakes of many who are older than you, who have wasted their life thinking that accumulating wealth is all that they need. Giving the children a comfortable life is all that they need. They have made the mistake and blunder. Don't repeat that in your life. Your children are still young. Your impact and your molding and shaping them has just begun. Do it well. Young people, whatever degrees you have, whatever talents that God has given to you, please never, never forget that they are just talents, avenues whereby you are sent out as ambassadors for Christ to do the work of Christ. That's all. You are not there to make money. You are there to be a godly testimony. Please make sure you are very clear in that distinction, because if you forget, and it is so easy to forget, because the pressure of bringing up children, the pressure of living in our modern day society, they are very real. They are very more real than you think. But please don't think that God's hand is too short to help you. Please don't think that God can only help you when the economy is buoyant. Please don't think that God is affected by inflation. You believe in God Almighty, do you not? And if God Almighty is able to feed one man, his servant Elijah, while the whole nation was suffering famine and drought for 3 long years, God provided food and water for his servant. You think God cannot provide food and water for you and your family? That you have to help God? That you have to love the world and do things the world's way to help God? You are not helping God. You are stumbling and bringing shame to his name. Quench not the Spirit of God, dear friends. Let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. Whatever the Bible says, cry to the Lord, Lord, please help me. I want to do every jot and every tittle of God's word. And where I have failed you, Lord, forgive me. Come back to the Lord. You must study God's word. Because if you don't study God's word, all the sincerity that you want to obey God's word is useless. Because sincerity is not a replacement for truth. In order for you to have this heart and this desire to not to quench the Spirit of God, you must first study God's word so that the Spirit of God will use the word of God to speak to your heart, to direct your life. If you do not know God's word, how is the Spirit of God going to use the word of God to direct your life? Church camp is coming. I hope all of you will try to come. Please don't allow financial considerations to prevent you from coming. The church will do her best with God's enabling to make sure that everyone can come, because this is what your tithe and offering are meant to be, to help you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. That's the purpose. It is not supposed to store up in the bank account for rainy day. We don't need rainy day provision. Our provision and our trust is in God, not in any bank account. It is for all of you to come and have a blessed time of fellowship with one another and to study God's word. That's the primary goal and aim. And if you are a parent with young children, if you don't make this part of your family tradition, then you are a fool. Truly. Then you do not know what it means to have spiritual life injected into the souls of your children. You know how precious and how important it is, the impact that that church camp can have. Your children, for one thing, will make friends with peers who are also Christians. And that will help them in more ways than one. When their social life is with Christian friends, you can rest assured that they will be helped by their fellow Christian friends, especially now with all the modern technology. If they are down, if they are troubled, Christian friends will help them on top of your help. And then you will grow and study God's word together. You know how wonderful it is? We are not looking for numbers. Please understand this. We want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We want you to be a godly witness as you are supposed to be according to the Bible. We don't want anyone to be quenching the Holy Spirit because he does not know. He is ignorant. The Spirit of God wants the best for you. God wants the best for you. Christ wants the best for you. Why don't you want the best for yourself and for your loved ones and families? I just don't understand. Are we not children of God? Then why are we living like children of the world? Why are we behaving like children of the world? We have so much to live for. We have our hope taken care of. We have eternity taken care of. We have our death taken care of. We have our life all taken care of by God. You have no worries. Literally, you have no worries, no cares in the world. Just put them before the cross and before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be so liberated, so happy, so thankful. And every day you wake up, it's a new day. I can live for Christ. Every day is a new day. Not weighed down by the burdens of this life and this world. Oh yeah, where am I going to get my next meal? God says, I will take care of that. I'm your father, am I not? You think I can't take care of your physical needs? I want you to take care of your spiritual needs. I will take care of your physical needs. You just trust me. Whatever I give to you, you just thank the Lord. If I know that you can cope with $1 million, I will give you $1 million. $1 million to God is small change. Nothing. But when you are not ready, you want to force yourself and get the $1 million by hook or by crook, it's going to crush you, it's going to destroy you, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and you're going to do a lot of evil things. God never lies. You think God doesn't want all of us to be rich? He wants all of us to be rich in spiritual things, not material things. Material things are nothing to God. If God wants us to be rich materially, He doesn't have to send Jesus Christ to die an awful death by crucifixion. He can just easily make everything that you touch turn to gold. He can easily do that. What for? He knows it will ruin us, it will hurt us. He wants real wealth. That is spiritual life. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That's what He wants for all of us. And if you can do this truly from your heart, that's living. That's the abundant life. Please don't think that Christians cannot quench the Holy Spirit. Only Christians can quench the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers can't. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them for them to quench. Therefore, this verse is for you and for me, if we are Christians. Look at Lot. He quenched the Holy Spirit until every day he woke up, he was vexed in his soul. And the further and further and further he strayed away from the Lord, he went nearer and nearer to Sodom. And once he entrenched his whole life in Sodom, he could not get himself out of Sodom. So much so that God had to send his angels to destroy Sodom. And before Sodom was destroyed, the angels literally had to hold his hand, his wife's hand, and his two daughters' hand. And other daughters who were married remained inside, and they were burned and were dead together with all the Sodomites. Because Lot failed the Lord. He quenched the Spirit of God. And he paid the ultimate price. His testimony was gone. Was he in heaven? Yes. But his life on earth was shattered and gone. What did he have at the end of his life? Absolutely nothing. All his business endeavors destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what he had was just two daughters up on a mountain, and the two daughters were so immoral and so shocked without proper education in God's word. What are we going to do now? If we don't know any man, if we don't have any man, how are we going to continue on our lineage? And so let us get our father drunk and sleep with our fathers. And that's exactly what the older and the younger did in turn. And so gave birth to two children, two sons. Moab, who is my father? Ammon. Still want to remember the people. The people were destroyed by the fire and brimstone. And the daughters still want to remember. Name a son after the people that were destroyed by God's judgment. Why did they do that? Because Lot quenched the Spirit of God. And he did not do what was right. He lost his own testimony and his physical life. And he lost his daughters who married Sodomites, and then he lost the testimony of his two daughters as well because of his failure as a father. They became immoral, they became unethical, and that's what they did to him. Please, don't think that just because I'm a Christian, I have a place in heaven, that's all that I need to do, and I can live any way I like on this earth. You can't. Please don't. You are going to fail the Lord miserably, and the people closest to you will die with you. Please don't do that. Quench not the Spirit of God who indwells us, who continue to speak to us. Let it burn alive in your soul, that you will live for Him. And then you know that when you stop breathing, there awaits for me a crown of righteousness. And God will say to me, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." Don't you want that? As a child of God, let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, in the stillness of this sanctuary, O Lord, we plead with Thee that Thou will whisper Thy word to every heart, everyone who claimed to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. May Thou draw us back unto Thyself, that we may stop sinning, that we may stop quenching the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of God indwells us, to aid us, to help us, to live for the Savior, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life that is based upon Thy truth and Thy wonderful word. Help us from henceforth, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, to make right all relationships in our lives, to learn to forgive and to apologize when we have hurt others, and that our life will be a life of service, where the Word of God will truly be the milk and meat to my hungry soul, and that our life will be a life of godly witness and Christian fellowship and testimony to others, that they will see Christ in us. For every Christian is the light and salt in a world that is in darkness and sin. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to all our hearts, that we may know that this truly is what our hearts desire as Your children, redeemed and purchased by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and always for Thy glory, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.